Welcome to the Christ Community Church Montreat podcast. Kevin Allman here with Pastor Richard White. Well, you gave a sermon this past Sunday, and you talked about giving. Yes. Tough topic for any sermon, but an important topic for any sermon, and you brought it in the context of worship. But I thought it would be good for us to talk about, kind of follow up on that sermon a little bit with some practical questions. So let's start with 10%. Where did that come from, the idea of tithing 10%? First of all, what does tithe mean, and why? Where do we get 10% from?
Tithe means a tenth. Yeah. That's just what it means.
Right.
And the first record we have of that is in the Old Testament in Genesis 14, where Abraham has rescued Lot, Sodom. Cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were taken captive, Lot taken captive. And Abraham goes off, rescues them, comes back, and Melchizedek comes out, the priest of Salem. And Abraham blesses Melchizedek by giving him a tithe or a tenth of the spoils. And in there, there's also, Levi, who's in the loins of Abraham, also tithed the tenth to Melchizedek. So you have this offering of a tenth of the spoils given to somebody. In Old Testament Mosaic law, then, it was codified that the Levites were the ones who were the recipients. They didn't get an inheritance of land. They were the priests. And so everybody else brought a tenth to the Levites, and that's how they earned their living and then also supported the work of sacrificial system and in time temple and all that. But, Leviticus 27 talks about how everything is to be tithed. I mean, from the fruit of your land, your animals, everything that the land produced or somehow you had income from, you had to tithe to the Lord, and it was 10%. So that's where that came from. But then in addition, there were opportunities for free will offerings. People could, just because they love God or they wanted a deeper expression of fellowship with God, they could bring to the temple additional gifts and offer those freely to the Lord. So you had the prescribed 10% that everybody had to pay, and that was really in order to pay your your priests and support the temple system there in Jerusalem, and then the free will offerings on top of that. So when you get to the New Testament, well, we don't have the Levitical priesthood anymore. God bless our minds. We're all now priests. Mm-hmm. So, maybe we should all be digging into the plate or something. I don't know, but no. It does change in the New Testament. You will not find in the New Testament a command by Paul or the other apostles that we give 10%. Mm-hmm. I always say that's probably a good standard. Mm-hmm. But I also say, now God requires 100% of us. We are to lay our all on the altar, so to speak. We make ourselves as a living sacrifice to God on the altar, as Romans talks about. But to be practical, what does that mean? With my dollars that I earn from my job, what God loves, the cheerful giver. That's the standard. Christ gave everything. How will you respond to that? What's in your heart to give back? For some, that means they're going to give way above 10%. We speak still of tithe and offering. We take up now let's give our tithes and offerings to the Lord. We still use that language because we realize, well, some people have a standard. They have a percentage that they want to give. And for some, it's 10%. That's what it was in the Old Testament. That seems reasonable and good, and that's perhaps what they shoot for. But And then above that, they may have, maybe they had a windfall. Maybe, you know, suddenly they came into some inheritance money and they want to give over and above a tithe. They want to give a free will offering to the church. And so that's why we speak of still the tithe and the offering. But we will never, as New Testament people, and you'll never hear me say this from the pulpit, that you must give 10%. You must give your tithe. What I would challenge people with, and what I try to do Sunday, is to challenge us with grace. Because that's what Paul did in 2 Corinthians 8. He challenged us to consider the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and how he became poor for our sake and how we have been enriched by Jesus. And that our spiritual enrichment in Christ, which will in time translate into fabulous material things. I mean, we're going to inherit the whole earth. That's coming in time. But how does that now play out in our hearts? Well, it should have a tangible response of me digging in my pocket and giving something to the Lord. Percentage, not going to put a percentage on that. But I do think where Paul talks in 2 Corinthians 9, God loves a cheerful giver.
Unpack that a little bit. A cheerful giver. What's a cheerful giver look like?
Oh, they do cartwheels down the aisle, and if we forget the offering, they stand up and shout, wait,
yeah.
We got to do the offering. I think just funny, when I was very young in ministry and leading worship, Calvin Thielman was preaching, and I forgot the offering. One time, I blew past it. I went from offering to, I guess, the scripture reading or something. And Jim Skidmore stood up and raised his hand. I said, "Jim," he said, "we forgot the offering." So somebody did that years ago.
I love that. And if you don't know Jim, Jim is a CPA. He knows that it's important for us to have the offering.
He was our treasurer. And for Jim, what I know of that man and so love, it was not a matter of, hey, if we miss the offering, we're going to be down in our budget.
No, he wanted to participate in that. That's true about Jim.
God, and his whole life is an offering. And so he gets this passage about Paul's talking about. But a hilarious giver, a cheerful giver. This comes from 2 Corinthians 9. Let me just read this, 6 and 7. The point is this, and this is a long section where Paul's been talking to the Corinthians about giving this offering, and he's winding it up here in chapter 9, and he says, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. And I think his point there is, in response to grace, sow bountifully, you know, give. Serve, you know, do what you do in response to this grace, you will not be sorry at the end of the day, because there's a principle here of sowing and reaping. And what you sow to, God will cause you to reap abundantly. And so, but here's what I love. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart. Okay, there's the standard. It's not everyone must give 10%. No. You will not find that in the New Testament. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly. Oh, okay, I'll give it. Or under compulsion. Well, the preacher expects it, or my mom expects it. I got to give. For God loves a cheerful giver. And the word there, it literally means a hilarious giver. And I think what God's looking for is, in his children, a response of love. And Father, what you have done for me in Jesus, how can I not give back to you? I want to give this to you. I love you, and this is a tangible evidence of my love for you and my gratitude for all that you've given to me. That's what a cheerful giver is. And then he goes on. He says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. What I love about that is You know, there's sometimes, what about somebody who's in debt? What about somebody who doesn't have anything to give? And I love this. He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. And it's, yes, he gives to the poor for their relief, but I think God also gives to the poor so that they have something to give themselves. Mm. This abundant grace of God. Certainly the Macedonians were in this extreme poverty, you know, the depth, the deep water of poverty, and yet they found something to give. And it probably wasn't 10%. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was 1%, but they begged Paul for the favor of being able to give this for the benefit of God's people mm-hmm. back in Jerusalem. And I think just a practical encouragement and challenge would be if you find yourself in a lot of debt, whether school debt or house debt, car debt, still look for a way. Lord, we want to give to you, and pray, and what is in your heart to give? God doesn't expect you to give a whole paycheck away, but what is in your heart to be able to give and still pay your bills? And you know, for some, you know, we think of slaves in the ancient world. Boy, if they were given, they were extending their time of bondage and slavery. That was a sacrifice, and there may be sacrifices, and yet you will never. I need to be careful of the nevers that I say I never say, but yeah, right. I hope I would never appeal telling people sacrifice and give. That has to be a heart decision that an individual makes before right. God. Paul wasn't asking these Macedonians to sacrifice. They were saying, we willingly sacrifice. We want to do this for the sake of our brothers and sisters in Christ in Jerusalem who are in great need. And the irony is probably some of these Macedonians were in just as great a need. Mm-hmm. But again, their hearts were so devoted to God, and in response to his grace, they couldn't help but give. Yeah. But I would say, again, just practically to a person who's dealing with some debt, school debts or whatever they are, you got to pay your debts. Absolutely. But in the midst of that, I ask the Lord, here's my payment method for, you know, making good on my debt. And it might be that, you know, if anything extra comes in above that, Lord, I want to give, you know, this amount and see what God does. You know, the testimonies of how God suddenly surprises us with, you know, there's $100 in the mailbox or, mm-hmm. You know, suddenly, you know, the bank, you know, overcharged us for something and we get this refund of something. It's right. Like, what? Where did this come from?
Yeah.
And, you know, what am I going to do with that? And is it in my heart to honor the Lord, saying thank you for Jesus? So ask the Lord, say, I want to be a gracious giver. I want to give more than what I've been able to do.
Yeah. And you gave an illustration in your sermon of, I mean, we think of giving as being money, cash, but there are other very tangible sometimes and sometimes intangible things that we can give. You gave the illustration of people giving rice that really was transformative. What about where should the giving go? So if we're giving to the Lord, how do we do that?
Well, you know, I think just practically, I mean, you look at Israel as, and I don't think this is so much prescriptive as descriptive, but where did Israel give their tithes? They gave them to the Lord to support the laborers who did the work of teaching and administering the sacraments, or the sacrificial system offerings there. I think just practically, you know, if we're committed as a member of a church body, that should be the first place where our offerings, our tithe, our offering goes to support the work of that local church. You know, pay staff, support the missionaries, keep the lights on for the children, you know, in Sunday school class, and you know, we buy Bibles and we give Bibles out to people. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes on Our deacons, we take up a special offering for that. And, all that goes to serve the needs of both this body and into the community. So there's a lot of good stuff there. And so I think at least the first of our giving, and, I'm not going to put a percentage on how much should go to the church and then beyond, but I would say, give to the church, make sure the needs of the church are taken care of. And then, anything beyond what's in your heart to give to missions, to other organizations, absolutely. There's a lot of good things, ministries that are advancing God's kingdom agenda, and we ought to be about those things as well. We can't give, the full, here's this ministry over here that needs, $1 million. Well, we may not be able to do the whole thing, but we do our part and we leave it up to God to supply the needs of those ministries. Mm-hmm. We leave it up to God to supply the need of this ministry, mm-hmm. this local church too. But I'm a member here. I really do think I have an obligation to supply for this church, as it were, the seed for scattering. And it takes money to do that. I mean, it's just the world we live in. We always have and always will need financial resources. So, I hate, with a capital H, preaching on giving because I feel like it's such an invasion of our privacy, and you're digging into my wallet now, and that's but I loved preaching Sunday. For some reason I just felt really free. I think I've always known this, but it just connected in me in a new and fresh way that, when we see the grace of God for us in Jesus Christ, how can we not but respond to that? Yeah. And here's a tangible way to do it. Not everybody's going to be able to give the same amount, but that's not what it's about. Yeah. It's about kind of making a joyful noise with our with our cash to the Lord, and it is an act of worship. And I think that's what hit me afresh. Here's a way to worship God. Yeah. But in addition to that, there may be people who maybe they live on a very fixed income, or they just don't have a lot. And okay, they may be praying, God, increase my seed that I may give. But remember, there are other ways to give too. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't say it's one or the other, but it also is the inclusion of, singing in the choir, the sacrifice of time that mm-hmm. people give for that. Being an elder or a deacon, to love the Church of Jesus Christ and to serve the Bride of Christ and to lead her, that takes a sacrifice of time. Praise God for the men and women who do that. Those who teach Sunday school, those who just help out around the church, and certainly, those who lead us in worship, the volunteers, choir, praise band. Thank God for the offering that is. Mm-hmm. And now, does that replace, the plate? Well, that has to be in the heart of the giver. It may be all they have to give, and that's what they're given. Secret prayer warriors, men and women who are praying for our church on their knees, and it's the sacrifice of prayer unto God on behalf of the church. Thank you for that. It's hard to put that in a plate, but God knows, and He knows what's in the heart. And, that cheerful, I talked about God only wants cheerful checks in the plate. Yeah. And I think that's a John Piper quote somewhere down the line, but I heard him somewhere. But boy, that's so true. A cheerful check, a cheerful service to the Lord rather than begrudging or compulsory in some way.
Well, and I would like to just say, as a current elder and someone who takes part in forming the budget for the church, I think it's important if you're a part of this church and you're giving. I mean, our budget is something that it's open to the congregation. It's not something that's hidden. And my experience in being a part of that process is that we always are right up to, we fill up our budget to the nth, that we have no room for big slush funds or anything like that, because every dime we always have more that we want to do than we have budget for. And so we are filling it up with good work and good things that the church is doing. But what I would say with regard to that is I think it's very important that you pay attention when you're giving to the church. You should be really paying attention to what's happening. You should be a part of recognizing and speaking into what the priorities are. You should do that. I think that's very important. And there's so many more things I would love to be able to give to than I have dollars to give. But when I do, I have, one of the things I love doing is I'll have former students that have gone on into some kind of ministry, and I love to support what they're doing. But I think it's important for you to pay attention to where the funds are going and know what's happening with
right. Yeah, with our the books are open, and Teresa does a lot of our financial stuff in the office, and she recently did a ton of research just on pay scales. Mm-hmm. And there was this range of scales, you know, from low end to high end, and ran all the staff through those. And I would say the vast majority, in fact, I think all the staff are at mid-range or below.
Yeah.
Some are even off the scale on the the yeah. low end.
Yeah.
And this is, she's comparing this with churches of like size, as well as it takes all these metrics into consideration here on pay scale and region and, you right. know, what are people paid in the community? I mean, it's just this cool little engine, search engine type thing. But and all that's available too. I mean, we do not hide what people are paid. We try to guard the dignity of people. We're not going to, we're just not going to post salaries publicly. But if somebody wants to come look at that, we let folks see that.
Yeah.
And, so that transparency is very important with people, and we want folks to feel comfortable that we're giving to good things, and we'd be happy to explain the reason why mm-hmm. we're supporting this or that, or how we're paying our missionaries, things like that. And there's a lot of great ministry going on from this church, and I'm just
right.
I'm amazed. I want to say thank you, Christ Community Church, because you are generous givers. Mm-hmm. We're behind in our budget, which is pretty typical. I mean, we've always been behind at this point, and a lot of people give during Christmas, year-end giving. That's just the nature of our world mm-hmm. Right now, and it's been that way ever since I've been here. I think only a couple times in the 30 years that I've seen have we not made budget. And so I praise God for the generous hearts of people. And yet there are still needs. We need to keep giving and ask that folks would. Let's give cheerfully to the Lord in response to the grace of our Lord Jesus.
Thank you. And would you pray for us?
I will be happy to. Father, thank you for the gift of the day. Thank you that you are a gracious God. Thank you that grace abounds to us at all times. The grace of Jesus Christ is constantly blowing in our lives as you supply us again and again with food and shelter, with dry homes on a wet day. Lord, with what we need for life and godliness, this and all so much more, Lord, eternal life. We will never in eternity lack for anything, but we will behold your face and we will live in your presence forever with the saints. Lord, thank you for how rich, truly rich you have made us in Christ. Lord, enable us to live holy lives today, even with our resources, Lord, to honor you in them. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.